Hi, everyone. I'm Jason Harang, a.k.a. Ud Vernoki.
Hi, I'm Chris the Tingler Cable.
And I'm Peter, a.k.a. Surplus Gamer, a.k.a. Mr. Coulomb.
And I'm Roger, a.k.a. Zarin. Take it away.
And, and this is the Mojo Podcast for Tales of Monkey Island, Episode 1. You'd think with the multiple reviews we've had for the games, you'd have enough of our opinion between, you know, Mojo's review and the Scumbars review. But in the last podcast news post, a suggestion was made in the comments that we should do one of these things for each episode. So, ask and you shall receive. So, what would you guys like about the game, not like about the game? Let's talk about Launch the Screaming Narwhal.
Right.
Okay, should we start off with control schemes?
Yes, please.
Sure.
As we had a good old chat about that in the IRC a minute ago.
Yeah.
I didn't get to enjoy that.
Nah. Take away, Peter.
Right, well, the point that I was trying to make about the control schemes is that people seem to be holding up, or a lot of people at least seem to be holding up point-and-click movement as the kind of ultimate holy ideal that graphic adventures should aspire to, and to me, that's simply never been true. I mean, there have always been drawbacks to point-and-click movement. I mean, there's nothing good about making Guybrush go left to right in the swamp in Monkey Island 2 by constantly clicking at the edge of the screen. That's always been less than ideal. And Telltale are now just trying another approach or a couple of other approaches, and there are problems with that approach maybe as well, but... And there's maybe work to be done, but it works.
And another thing people need to remember is that they're not really changing this up just for the sake of it. You know, they're changing it up because when you want to do the kind of dynamic camera work that they want to do to make the games more cinematic and cooler to look at visually, is that you can't do that with a full point-and-click mechanic in a 3D world. I mean, that's... I mean, period, you know? Honestly... Yeah. I didn't care for the all mouse control they
put in the game.
I mean, I'm not saying this is what it was, but it felt to me like kind of like something they threw together to appease the people who kept whining about needing all mouse control. I was happy with the Wallace and Gromit style control where you move with the keyboard and interact with the mouse, point and click that way.
Me too.
It feels like the best way to do it, yeah. Even if you don't have a gamepad.
I am glad that they are at least trying things, though. Trying stuff out rather than just immediately capitulating and pandering to the fans who just want point-and-click controls and making compromises because of that.
Absolutely, yeah. But the people, you know, there are people who are suggesting that they're, you know, they're fixing something that wasn't broken. They're doing it. I mean, they're obviously doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
This is a necessity for... The kind of visual storytelling that they're going
for. And these
guys
are kind of... They're paid to figure this stuff out, so they probably considered anything that these fans might have to suggest already and decided that it doesn't work.
Well, I just don't like the way that they set up the mouse-only one as the default one
that
they talk about in tutorial and don't actually mention the Wallace and Gromit-style one, even though a lot of people probably prefer that one.
Yeah, to...
I didn't notice the all... I guess I wasn't paying attention during the tutorial.
No.
I didn't even notice it until...
I knew it anyway, but when they appeared. I think in the press copy doesn't mention it.
It's true, and actually I've had to tell at least a couple of people that the keyboard option exists, and they've come to me saying, oh, they just can't stand the controls, it just doesn't really work well for them. And one of them said that it just kept on messing up when they were playing it windowed, and I had to tell them that the keyboard controls were there, and once I told them, they were like, oh, well, this works fine.
Yeah.
I think the problem with this is that Telltale never plays any kind of key maps or a help screen to show people the controls, like most other games.
Yeah. I mean, most people, I know if you guys don't know, that F4 highlights objects.
Tab used to highlight objects in Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah. Now they've changed it, and...
What was the first game to do that? Or at least in the LucasArts canon. Did Grim Fandango have that? Where, there was a key that you press where all the hotspots, the interactive objects, were indicated?
I don't remember.
I know I know a Vampire Story had that.
That's the only one I can remember.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I agree that maybe what they were trying to do was really push this new click and drag to move thing, but it seems like the general consensus so far has been that that is not as good as the keyboard option.
Yeah. I think it's just a lot of purists complaining about it in general, getting back to the point and click thing.
Yeah. I think it is. And, you know, purists are kind of weird in that way, in that they'll go back and say that they want things to be in, even if they're not necessarily good things. Like, I was talking to someone on IRC earlier who mentioned that they'd quite like to have pixel hunting back, and really, is that what we want?
I don't think so. Not without the highlighting thing option.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It gets to the point where people just want these really superficial things. Like, we should have the old style blinking cursor back, you know. Like, it gets to the point where it's just like this, it doesn't even matter. These are just stupid suggestions.
Yeah. And
I think the people who complain about controls are coming from a place where, you know, they care about the game, but they don't really understand how these things work.
Yeah.
I think a vampire story spoiled them.
I don't know. I didn't play that, actually, I have to say. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just the thing. Vampire Story is a 2D game, and they got away
with
a full point-and-click interface with Sam and Max Seasons 1 and 2, but in doing that, they were extremely limited with the kind of camera stuff
and
they could do.
You know,
most of the environments are just these giant, wide angle shots.
And in Sam & Max, it wasn't exactly much fun walking to one end of that street to the other. They even changed it in Season 2 because it was quite annoying going click, click, click all the way across that street.
Yeah.
And if it would have been...
It just started and stopped and started and stopped and it just looked weird.
I don't know, maybe... It just doesn't feel like that drastic a change to me in the first place. Like, it's like I said about Wallace and Gromit. It's still a point-and-click adventure game. You just use the keyboard to move. I mean, they really haven't changed that much.
To me, it's the least of anyone's worries about what they could possibly be worried about this game. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's a small thing, but the one thing I don't really like is the combining thing in the inventory. I know they haven't done it, but... Why can't you just drag object over another object?
Well, the reason given and the reason that I suspected was because it draws it to people's attention who maybe haven't seen it before.
And
it's always presented there as an option.
Well, why can't they just tell you that you can do that? I mean, you have to drag the objects anyway over to this thing, so you might as well just drag them over each other. Cut out.
Well, there's still
the middleman.
There's still the danger that people would just forget the option was there halfway into the game.
You gotta remember, even though item combination has been a pretty long-standing staple for adventure games, this is the first time in any Telltale game that was used.
I guess
so
you
have to consider that people
an
might
option
just
to
assume
just
that it's not there. Combine them by dragging
them
together, but. Another point that was brought up is this saves them the trouble of having to write an individual dialogue line instead of it just being, you know, the classic, I can't use these two things together.
Yeah.
So that's another thing they can kind of sidestep by doing that.
I don't like how there's a separate button for examine in the inventory, though. I just want to click on them.
Yeah.
It took me ages to notice that little magnifying glass in the top.
Yeah, you should be able to
write it. Isn't it in the tutorial?
I don't think so.
I think when you look at the thing in the coffin in the tutorial, it reveals that there's something in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't paying attention then. As Jason said a moment ago, I wasn't paying attention. He didn't pay attention with the controls.
Oh, well.
But
the controls, evidently, very solid. So I think next thing to talk about is how authentic it feels to Monkey Island from like a story, a style standpoint, and I think it's very authentic. It seems like all the reviews I've read about it, everyone really feels like they've nailed the spirit of the franchise very well, and I agree with that. I think what I like about Tails more than anything else, at least from what I've seen so far, is that it feels more like the older games, and that it feels more like just a genuine, an old school, legitimate pirate story. Like Escape from Monkey Island, if you compare it to that, you know, I liked that game more than most. But I think something that bothered people a lot about it is the fact that it was a satire. It kind of made fun of itself a lot. And that's nothing new to Monkey Island. There's a lot of in-jokes. There's a lot of fourth-wall gags. It's a little bit self-referential. But I think Escape from Monkey Island, just because of the storyline and the kind of things it was doing, you know, sending up everything, it felt a little too self-aware. It was a little bit too aware that it was a computer game. And I think because of that, the world maybe felt a little less real. Because, like, if the game isn't if the game is so convinced that it's a game, then the player's going to feel the same way.
Yeah.
And Tails feels a little bit more like, you know, it's just a pirate, a supernatural pirate story. Because I think when Monkey Island is at its best, it does hold up more or less as a decent little pirate yarn.
Yeah.
Theoretically, if you could strip away all the humor and the comedy from a Monkey Island game, it would be a lot less entertaining. But the story would probably still work.
I don't know. I like the LucasArts hint line in the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Grog machine.
But that's the thing that...
Right, you can't take...
That's
right.
The thing that was good.
You can't take
Sorry.
Any of that away. No, you go ahead.
That's the thing that was good about the first couple of games, though, is that it was really a pirate story which just happened to have these modern things in it, and it was kind of strange that they were there, but it was cool.
Right.
But... and gradually, I think... particularly in Escape from Monkey Island, it's more like a modern story, but in a piratey mold, which doesn't seem to work quite as well. And
I mean, I think it worked well enough for one game, but I'm glad they've kind of gone back to their roots with the next one.
And I still think there are the same... I still think there are some of the same elements of that in Tales of Monkey Island, such as, you know, like the action figure stuff. And
yeah,
stuff like
but
that.
They had a lot of that in the first two games, in the first three games too. I mean, there were anachronisms.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Like, I think at some point, I think there's an element of Tales of Monkey Island where it takes itself seriously.
Yeah.
Not takes itself seriously in that there's no humor, but you know, it takes itself seriously enough that you know this is a real world, it's a real place, there are real stakes. It feels a little bit darker, a little bit more like you know, there's a problem that needs to be taken care of. The voodoo lady is a little less patient with Guybrush's antics. There is some sort of seriousness to it,
yeah.
Like the older games had.
I mean, it's difficult for me to articulate, but I know that there are anachronisms aplenty in the older games, but I think that they were utilized in a subtly different way to what they have been in the last couple of games, and I think that Tales definitely is closer to the first couple of games than Escape was. Certainly, but I still think there's just a minor difference in tone, and I wanted to see how that goes across the next couple of episodes. But I certainly didn't have a massive problem with it.
That's fair enough. But I mean, for every action figure you point out in Tales, I can point out a Grog machine and a light fixture in the other games.
Yeah, but they were sort of background things, whereas this was sort of a major puzzle. That's the difference, I think.
Perhaps.
Possibly. Well, the Grog machine was major in the first
one. Okay. Well, as I said, it's difficult for me to articulate exactly what the difference is, but I feel like there is one. That's all I can say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How about that we go on to sort of the graphics and the look? Particular Guybrush. What do we think of him?
I still think he has that kind of shininess that he had in those early screenshots. Other than that, I think he looks great. He's kind of like this mixture
really
between
like him, yeah.
He's this mixture between the LeChuck's Revenge Guybrush and the Curse of Monkey Island Guybrush.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
works really well. And obviously Dom is great. You know that you know the voice work and the animation is at least 50% of bringing that to life, and I think it all just really works well. Guybrush is a good design.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the look. I think maybe sometimes in the shots, especially in the outside shots on the dock, sometimes the lighting looks a little weird, which makes some of the shots look better than others. But overall, I think they've done a great job on the look of the game.
Yeah,
I've spoken to people who have utterly hated it though. So. It's
well,
a new Guybrush. Yeah. What do you think, Zarin? Hello.
Everyone hated Curse of Monkey Island Guybrush when they first saw him. I mean, they can lie about it and say they didn't, but they did. And honestly, I think this one, they're obviously making an active effort to look more like the old ones. It looks good. You know, the game takes place many years after the last. It takes place sometime after the last one, and, you know, he looks like a little bit not more mature in attitude, but he looks more mature in that he's maybe experienced more. He seems a little bit less naive. I mean, he's still really naive and clueless, but he, you know, you get the sense that time has passed.
And there are people complaining about the graphics, thinking they're a bit too Escape from Monkey Island-y, a bit too colorful.
I mean, look, but low-budget 3D is always going to look like low-budget 3D, but I think Telltale has got, from a stylistic standpoint, Telltale has done a really good job, and I was actually really impressed with a lot of the background stuff that they did, and even just the camera work in general. Like, it's kind of like a Telltale game, like, the presentation, like, you can't really get it just by looking at a screenshot. Like, the actual graphics only make up about half of, like, what a Telltale game is visually, because they're really kind of movie-like in the way they use their cameras, and they cut and they pan, and, you know, they do a lot of interesting things in addition to just the environments and the character models, you know.
But also, this was going to be a colorful episode from the start, because, first of all, this episode is set during the middle of the day where it's really bright. But also, the town, the main town, is supposed to be made this kind of patchwork town made up of different things that people could find. So obviously it's going to have this kind of colourful look to it, where all the buildings are made of up of this sort of hodgepodge of materials. And so I think that sort of contributes to the colourful look of the place. And once you get into the jungle and stuff like that, well, you know, it's coloured like a jungle, so I don't see the problem there.
No, I didn't have any problem with it, but there have been, of course, people who have had problems with it.
I mean, look, to some degree, it does look a little bit like Escape from Monkey Island, but, you know, it's going to look how it's going to look under the parameters it was built
on. I guess. I still think it looks more like Curse of Monkey Island than it does like Escape.
Oh, I agree, but, I mean, the people who are going to say, or going to point out similarity, you're going to find them.
Yeah.
That's all I really meant.
Yeah. But some people just seem to compare it to Escape from Monkey Island just because it's 3D, as if it can't be it can't be styled more like a 2D game just because it's in 3D. Of course it can.
Right. And of course Escape was 3D but rendered in 2D.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
So it did have a different kind of vibe to it in the first place.
I really liked the depth of field effects that you got when you turned the detail up a bit in it as well. That was really effective to make the scenes just look that little bit better.
I never had to turn them down, so I can't compare
them. It seems like the latest toy Telltale was able to throw together for the engine, and I was afraid it was going to get overused, but it seemed like it was used when it was appropriate.
Yeah,
I agree. It added to the effect.
I suppose we could put it in graphics, but one complaint I did have is repeating character models.
Some of them look kind of similar, which is disappointing.
No, three of them are definitely the fat pirate character model. Doro, the journalist, and what's his name, Van Winslow, are definitely the same character model, but with just like subtle differences, like a beard.
I wouldn't mind seeing that improved, but I find it hard to get too
and the glass blower and whatever his name is who's sitting on the courthouse door is the same as well.
That's something that was true of Escape from Monkey Island as well. Those character models, I mean, yeah, those character models were pretty they were a little detailed, I guess, and they were kind of nondescript, so they kind of had the impression of a lot of them looking alike. Like, I know, like, Escape from Monkey Island had that little thing in Monkey Island 1 where you'd see a pirate or two kind of walking around in the background in the town, and they were just, like, identical. The models were just identical to some side character you had met previously in the game. Like, one of the dart throwers in the scum bar, for example, was, like, a tourist on Jambalaya Island later on.
That wasn't too worried about. Because they're not proper characters.
I think they may.
No, I just noticed.
I think they may develop this in future episodes, because I know a lot of people have mentioned how similar the models look. So maybe they'll do more to differentiate them in the future. We'll have to see.
Now you know, you do have to give them credit. There are a decent number of characters in this game.
Yeah.
You know, for a Telltale game,
yes.
There must have been close to 10. You know, and the major ones were pretty descript. I really liked was it LaFlinge?
LaFinge.
LaFinge?
DeSinge.
Singe? DeSinge.
There we go, yeah.
Yeah. Voiced by Jared Emerson Johnson, right?
Yes, he did a very good job.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you had Guybrush, you had Elaine, you had LeChuck, you had that monkey, you know, you had the glassblower, you had...
And of course they had to do two completely different models for LeChuck as well, let's not forget.
That's true. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there were definitely at least as many characters in this game as there have been in a Telltale game before. Just to put it in perspective, put it on the other side of the coin there.
As we mentioned, should we move on to voices?
Sure.
Yes.
Voice work was great.
LeChuck, I'm still getting used to. I don't like his long ha ha ha's.
You know, it's something that happens whenever you replace an actor and the new actor is trying to replicate the previous.
Yeah.
I think he does a competent job. I mean,
Voodoo Lady, I didn't have any problem with.
I think he did.
No, I didn't.
I think he did as good a job as he could probably have been expected to do under the circumstances.
Right. Yeah.
I don't have any problem for him apart from the laugh. Too long.
I forgot about it, to be honest.
Him being over the top is kind of the point. I remember someone commented on this on a forum somewhere that, you know, these games are, at the end of the day, kind of based on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, so they do have this sort of, you know, over the topness to them.
I just hope he goes darr at some point.
But yeah, I agree with you about the Voodoo Lady. I mean, definitely a different actress, but it was almost like it almost felt more story proper, this Voodoo Lady. She was a little bit more serious, like I said, a little bit less patient. It felt like a Voodoo Lady that was that fit well into the atmosphere of Tales of Monkey Island.
Yeah.
Not of course, I'm sure she was cast because they couldn't get the other one, but I'm saying it didn't feel like a a last minute thing or something that didn't work or anything like that.
Elaine.
Yeah.
Do we like Elaine?
You know, I like Elaine. I mean, you know, I personally preferred the Escape from Monkey Island one, but I liked both Elaine's, and I'm glad they got one of them back. I assume they sat down and they just tried to figure out which one was more popular by majority, and the British one, I guess, was deemed the more popular one.
So. And she's the same in Secret of Monkey Island now as well. Yeah.
But it's interesting. Secret of Monkey Island also got Earl Bowen and the Voodoo Lady from Curse
Liliana
of the
Jones, I think her name is.
Right. So that's kind of interesting. Hmm. But it sounds like LucasArts has got a little bit more resources at its disposal. Plus this whole Earl Bowen thing being retired. Yeah.
Well, he recorded it like at home, didn't he? Yeah. He recorded it in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Well, the secret one is a one-off thing. Is a one-off thing, and this is monthly, so probably didn't want to commit for the whole thing.
It's probably easier for LucasArts to grab him for some one-off project like the remake than it is for Telltale to get him in a studio, have him commit to, you know, the 6 months or however many months it would take.
Yeah.
You know, they probably need their actors on hand, you know, because they write it as they record. It's not all written, and then they do a big binge session. So, you know, like Surplus Gamer said, he does find the new voice.
Yeah. Elaine, and I'm waiting to see with Elaine, and she doesn't have much of a role in this one. But then she didn't have much of a role in Curse of Monkey Island either.
Yeah, I think she's.
See what she does with a bigger role.
I think so far with the bits of dialogue that were at the beginning though, she seems to be sort of settling into the role a bit more. I don't know. It's not much to go on as you say, but I.
Yeah.
Not just the voice actors, the writers seem to have settled into her a bit more as
that
well.
That might be it.
Because the writing for her in the previous games was a little bit... Again, her not having much to do is a function of the writing rather than the voice actors. You know, she can only work with what she has. I think Elaine feels a little bit more developed in this game, you know.
Apparently Ron Gilbert advised them mostly on her.
If you were to talk to her... If you were to go through all the dialogue options with her in the game's prologue, you do kind of get the sense that
I love that bit.
They thought about her character a little.
Well,
bit.
I heard.
Can I get you anything?
Her relationship with Guybrush.
I heard that over at Telltale, they've got a whole manual on why Elaine is still with Guybrush.
Yeah. I like the beginning thing. Guybrush is like whining. Can I get you anything?
Yeah.
No, just Bang! Yeah.
I liked the quote about her inordinately strong thighs.
Yeah.
Yes. And chuck the plant. He's doing it.
Yes, I was very happy to see Chuck the plant. Very happy. That made the game for me. And that was only in the first 2 minutes.
Yes. we're still about sound. We'll go on to music now if you want.
Michael Land did a great job, as expected.
Yes.
I mean, the only thing I'd say about this music is maybe it was a bit more subdued, sort of in the background, as I like from my Monkey Island games, but it was still completely suitable, and it was a great job that he did.
Yeah, it was great, and I love the iMuse or the iMuse like effects that they were able to do with the Flotsam Island town. I love going to all the locations and listening for the changes. It was just well done. Mm. I mean, the Curse of Monkey Island, that soundtrack, you can't top that. Both from from the music, from the perspective of the music, to just like the actual production values of that soundtrack. But I think Tails sounds great so far.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really love the music.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing more from it as well, because I'm hoping that by the time the 5 episodes go by, there's going to be lots of nice memorable tunes in there.
I'm hoping there'll be a song.
That would be nice.
Maybe so. They've been, they had a lot of songs in Sam and Max. You can't rule it out.
Yeah, there wasn't really any in season 2, was there?
They had the mariachi song.
Yeah, the Friendly Demon song. That's a little. Yeah. But not as many. Not as like one per episode as they had before. We'll get into Sam and Max. But
it's probably hard to keep up with writing so many, show.
Yeah, you don't want to just do it for the sake of it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
What do you think,
Sam? What about the puzzles? Another major aspect of any adventure game, the puzzles.
I liked the sound puzzle. I thought that was inventive. Though I can see that it would rule out any deaf people from ever playing the game. But that was interesting.
Yeah.
Is it amazing? Is it on the subtitles, actually, thinking about it?
No, you can't.
Apparently it's not.
I've got a question. I never figured out if there were supposed to be, like, if you were supposed to be able to figure out how to get through the maze by some other way than sound. Because, I mean, you did have a map, and I never figured out how to read it. I just went based on the sound. I never figured out if the sound was supposed to be.
Yeah, it's the signs on the map. You're supposed to walk to the exit with that sound.
Yeah, I didn't like the little ding thing, the sound effect. I thought that made it too obvious.
Yeah.
Well, I was surprised that they put a maze puzzle in the first place. Not that I didn't like it, but it almost seemed like, I honestly never expected Telltale to make a maze puzzle, but it just kind of goes to show they're getting into the spirit of Monkey Island, that it's a little bit more traditional, a little bit more old school. They didn't bring it to the point they didn't cross a line, but I was kind of, I was kind of surprised and kind of happy to see that, an adventure game maze puzzle.
Yeah. And actually, puzzle.
You got stuck, didn't you?
Sorry. Yeah, it was the only place that I got stuck in the game was that maze puzzle, because I didn't realize that you had to use the map on the well in order to get it to work.
It took me a while with that.
Yeah, that picture was they had a picture of.
Yeah, they had a picture of the well, but they didn't. Yeah. They had a picture of the well, but I just thought that meant that you start at the well and then move on from there.
Well, they didn't have a picture of hand holding the map over the well, so you're supposed to get it.
I did get it eventually. I did it once when just going around following the noises.
Yeah.
And it didn't do anything, so then I presumed I had to do something else, then I tried using the map.
It just really didn't occur to me to use the map. I spent ages thinking, have they broken the game somehow before releasing it?
It wouldn't have occurred to me either. I saw that image of the hand putting the... I mean, they had an image of that right on the map, right? Of the hand putting the map in the well.
Yeah, but I just thought that it was like start at the well.
It's a bit subtle.
That's all I thought it meant.
Better late than never, but don't listen to this podcast if you want spoilers. You don't want any spoilers.
Right,
I know. I was going to say it right at the start, but I forgot. Never mind.
We can put that in the news post easy enough.
Yes.
I mean, anyway, it sort of made sense in the end to put the map on the well because, it's like you're wishing for the map to work or something, I don't know. It completely stumped me at the start, and that was about the only place that really held me up for a significant length of time. But overall...
Like I said, I did it once, and went around the circuit, didn't do anything, so obviously thought, I have to do something else.
I was really happy with the puzzles overall. I think they achieved kind of a very, very nice balance.
Yeah.
It's no doubt the easiest Monkey Island game, but I never felt that my hand was being held.
No.
All the previous Monkey Island games have had puzzles that were downright unfair. Some more than others. I'm going to escape here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they did right by the puzzle design for sure, in terms of the difficulty and in terms of it being just good puzzles.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent. And the chair puzzle in the middle of the game where you're trapped in the chair has to be one of the best puzzle moments I've experienced for a while.
Yeah. It's got to be one of the best escape out of the room style puzzles.
Yeah.
I've played in a long
time. And I love that type of puzzle, and it's very Monkey Island-y type of puzzle to have as well.
And look, it's a puzzle they could never have done if it was a pure point-and-click mechanic, you know? It's just another thing that's another thing that, you know, by not limiting themselves to a mechanic that's been around since 1987, you know, they can do things that they might not have been able to do on a more restricted...
Yeah, well, they could do it, but they'd have to put buttons on the screen something, and it just wouldn't work so well.
It was obviously built around the idea that the player could control with a keyboard.
Yeah.
But then that's not the default one anyway. How does it do it with the mouse?
It doesn't.
Like I said, I wasn't paying attention to the tutorial. I went straight to the keyboard. So
the tutorial specified that you should use the keys in that scene, at least in the review copy.
In that scene? Ah,
yeah, it does. It comes up. It pops up in the corner telling you to use the WSAD controls for that bit.
Weird. Okay.
Yep.
The one that got me stuck was trying to knock Van Winslow off the boat. I think it was like the combination of things. I knew I found out about putting a bomb in the underwear. I guess I thought I had to wheel it to him somehow, but I didn't think about moving it over to him first, then having Guybrush climb on it, so he moves him down.
I was stuck there too for a little while, and the reason was I didn't know it was possible to click the rope. When I knew you could click the pulley, and I just didn't figure there was anything else interactive that close to it.
I
know what you're saying. Like you get the it's a well-designed puzzle, and that you know how to do it. You get the idea. You missed some hotspot.
It seemed logical enough to me, though, because, I mean, clicking the clothesline, I mean, it was one of the things that a lot of people would try to do just to get onto the ship, you know. They'll try and climb up the clothesline. I don't know, it didn't cause me a problem. I got that one first time, and I really liked that whole puzzle as well, just because it seemed to me like a classic Guybrush bit of trickery.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was a good puzzle that it required you to do a combination of things.
Yeah.
Trial and error, figuring it out.
Clever boy.
Oh, I love that one. The finale... Well, the finale in, like, inverted commas was a bit easy, though.
Yeah.
It's too easy to throw into that by accident.
I suppose so.
You talking
about... When... And Guybrush says, I'm going to have to trick the hand into going to the tar. I thought it would be more complicated than just clicking on the map.
Meh.
Yeah.
I like that puzzle.
I kind of liked it. Yeah, I kind of liked it, but it maybe wasn't quite as good a climax as the stuff just before it, where you're going around trying to avoid the marquee and putting the symbols together.
Yes. The YouTube, went that point. Yeah.
I liked the line where he says, "What was that fooping sound?"
I was trying to use the YouTube on things. I don't want to put that on YouTube. I was spending more of a YouTube gag with that.
I gotta tell you, the only area in the game that missed the mark for me was the fact that you couldn't press Control W to win. It surpassed my expectations.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is. I think Telltale, like, you know, they've nailed all their licenses so far. Like, you know, they really got the spirit of Sam and Max and Strong Bad and Wallace and Gromit down, but there's still that fear that, you know, Monkey Island is a, you know, it's a great license. You don't want anyone to mess up. And, you know, once again, Telltale kind of, you know, any fear you had was just completely unfounded. Mm. They just did a really good job, just from the menu design to the chapter screen. It's a Monkey Island game.
I love the menus.
I think that more than anything is
I've just got to say how much I really enjoyed going into the menus in this game. I don't know why that's worth mentioning, but I just really loved that whole effect where it would go through all these branches and then pan out to the menu.
Yes.
Somewhere in California, Jake is saying you're welcome.
Yeah, it was just really good, that whole menu thing. I don't know why that means so much to me, but there you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think what else?
Yeah, what else?
I guess, should we speculate about story points like everyone else on the internet?
I was just going to say, with puzzles, just as one more, the only one I was slightly disappointed with was the Club 41 one. I was expecting more to that.
Oh, the bar fight?
Yeah, instead of just, like, clicking on a sock. Basically.
Click on a sock and then you go into the bar, and it's not really a puzzle, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I was expecting more to it.
So, I mean, maybe that's just one of the cases where they had to cut out some stuff.
Well, it's like also the mansion puzzle from the first Monkey Island, so it is.
I laughed.
It was amusing. It was definitely amusing, but
I liked how when you clicked in the bar, like, you know, Guybrush just immediately got in trouble. Like, you didn't need an explanation. You know, he's a pirate, and that's what's gonna happen. You know, I enjoyed that.
I did at least think it was funny.
Yeah.
Even as just a character, even as a character moment, it's pretty good. I think the only puzzle, if I was gonna complain about one puzzle, it would be the one involving the cheese wheel getting the little diagrams on it. If only
didn't
because
have any problem
like
with
that. The diagrams being on the exterior of the jail, like it was completely by chance that I noticed that.
I noticed it's just walking through, and I thought, that looks odd. That's bound to come into it later on.
Yeah, I think I had a similar thing where, well, I knew that I had to use the cheese wheel on the idol statue thing,
but I
realized that there weren't any symbols on there, and so I was wandering around, wondering what to do about this symbol situation, and I just walked past the jail, and I thought, aha, and I kind of liked that it was just this great, oh, that's
I
it
like
moment.
That.
Yeah.
And he did a Wallace and Gromit cheese thing.
Yes, he did.
That was great.
Yes, that was very good.
Okay, now we can go on to story.
Well, the only one thing I'm going to add to that is what I loved about that puzzle is that, like, Guybrush was way behind the player in that, because, like, when you
oh yeah,
like, usually when you solve a puzzle, Guybrush is like, yeah, I see what you're trying to say, but when you applied the cheese wheel to the little symbols, he was just like, you know, like, I forgot what it was he said, but, like, you know,
yes, I remember.
To him, it was just this totally arbitrary thing that he was doing for a completely
different
reason.
Yeah, it's like that hasn't improved the eye carvings at all. So, he was hoping to spruce them up with cheese for some reason.
the writing was really good.
Yeah.
I think, was it Stimley who wrote this one?
Yes.
It was good.
Yeah, Escape from Monkey Island, man.
I don't go giving my secret sources to every Tom, Dick, and Guybrush who happens to wash ashore.
Yeah, I like that voice actor, actually. And also the animation line was fun as well, yeah.
Yeah, apparently somewhere, like, every Bay Area studio, like, you know, he was Harry the Mole Man, and he was the kind of the rat mobster in a Vampire Story. Very distinct.
Yes! Yeah, I thought it was.
Yeah, that guy's great.
Yes, visual comedy. It seemed the animation on the characters, particularly the faces, was brilliant.
Yeah. Right, it was great. It's one of those things that Telltale that you couldn't do in any other game, or you know, most other studios couldn't pull that off, because you know, that's something that Telltale has really perfected and improved and cared about over the years. This
definitely the best.
I love.
There are tons of gags that a previous, like none of the previous Monkey Island games could ever have been able to do, that Telltale was able to do.
I loved how he punched himself after making the Dora the Explorer joke, you know?
Yes.
but also punched himself when the snapping fingers before the chapter screen, and then trying to get his hand to snap his fingers, and he punches himself.
This will be a snap.
And I was, yes, I was laughing so hard I missed the chapter screen entirely. I was so annoyed.
And like,
I gotta say,
And like we speculated on the last podcast, there was in fact a chapter screen with the nice chapter screen music.
Yes, we knew it. Good. Yeah. Thank you, Telltale.
I know that each episode title is supposed to be the name of a chapter, but I really hope that at the end of the fifth and final episode, they squeeze in a chapter 6 that's titled in some variation, you know, Guybrush Kicks Butt. Like, they have to do that. They have to.
I hope so.
It would be nice to see.
Yeah, Telltale taking notes from this podcast. Yeah.
They basically come to us for all their ideas.
that's how I understand it.
Okay. Yeah. Telltale knows when to ignore their fans. That's what I like about them. They know when to listen, and they know when to not pay attention.
Yes. They are good at that.
Okay. Story?
Yes, story.
Liked it so far?
Yeah. Is LeChuck good as a human? That seems to be the biggest. Well, aside from the character teaser at the end of the episode, LeChuck never seemed to have any kind of evil inclination after he turned human.
I don't know.
Was I the only one who's seen the Pirates of the Caribbean similarities here? LeChuck turning human felt a lot like Davy Jones turning human to me.
Yes,
I didn't even think of that.
When the ending didn't end in a reveal. The ending didn't end in a reveal, but the idea of, you know, Guybrush running into a potentially old school character reminded me of the end of Dead Man's Chest 2.
I don't think it would be an old school character.
The Voodoo Lady's Locket. No, I think it's all coincidence, but I just think it's interesting after you know, everyone pointed out all the similarities with the Pirates of the Caribbean movies to the Monkey Island games.
One thing I did notice. It's how Guybrush, well, the very, very last line of Guybrush is actually a message to the fans. Can't you wait a little while longer?
I mean, I don't think LeChuck is going to end up being good as a human. I think he's supposed to have been a bit of a jerk even before he was dead.
Yeah, but there could be a story-related reason.
It could be.
You know.
It could be.
You know, Guybrush's hand is making him act a little bit like LeChuck. Mm. LeChuck might be having an opposite reaction.
Yeah, I suppose the jury's out on it. What about this big sponge thing?
that's kind of the main storyline.
Yeah, and if he does get to it, that could finish off LeChuck for good. Yeah. So
him a simple. Yeah, well, they say that.
True.
But yeah, this sponge appears to be the main quest.
It's the MacGuffin for the
be
time
him
being.
Trying to assemble. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's this game's ultimate insult or big whoop or
a sponge
Blood Island diamond.
At first, I kind of thought, "What, really a big sponge?" But then I thought back and thought, "Well, you know, in Monkey Island 2, they had a treasure called Big Whoop." That's not much better, you know. So, I mean,
the suggestion seems to be.
I'm about Escape from Monkey Island.
The ultimate insult, yeah.
What's that? Oh,
yeah.
The suggestion seems to be that this pox of LeChuck is now going to like infest the entire Caribbean. So
I get the feeling that there'll be a bit more to it than just this big sponge when it comes down to it.
Yes. Or it could be just a tiny, crappy little sponge.
It's not the destination.
Would it be funny?
It's the journey.
Yeah.
Most use of Grim Fandango quote. Or is it? Or is it actually?
I think it's just a general quote.
just enjoy the trip, I think is Grim's message.
So what about the character at the end, then?
New character. Probably Morgan Le Fay.
Yeah, well, it is Morgan Le Fay. I don't think anybody disagrees on that, but they're wondering if that might be a pseudonym for if it's going to turn out to also be an old character. Of course, it being someone who's been after Guybrush for a while doesn't necessarily mean it's someone we know, but it could be. I'm going to I'm in the Cape Capsize bandwagon myself.
Yeah, so am I.
I think it'll be a brand new character, but it was introduced in the new adventures that we missed out on.
Given her line at the end, you know, that she's been waiting for this for a long time or something, I'd kind of prefer now that it was an old character, because otherwise I'd feel like, well, why did they need to have that history then? But
And you know, it's also one of those things that even if it's revealed to be an old character, it's not going to be something that's going to lose newcomers either, because she's been properly established as this alter ego.
Yeah.
It's not going to, you know, I don't think they're going to force any kind of backstory.
Sure.
Yeah.
On the
but
player.
He never did anything bad to Kate Capsule. He's probably throw her in jail, but then he got out.
Yeah, but
that would be the bad
she
thing.
She was pretty mad about that.
But she got out again.
Or not.
It's optional for you to let her out. But even when you let her out, she's still
mad.
She's still pretty vengeful about finding the person.
She might have figured it out
in the several years that.
I could imagine her becoming this sort of pirate hunter in order to track down the person who sent her in jail.
Oh, no. That would be great, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love it to be Kate Capsize. I can't think of anybody who I'd rather it was, but I mean, a new character would be fine as well, I guess.
And, you know, this is me reading too much into things, but, you know, Monkey Island 2 did kind of suggest this aspect about the Kate character. You know, she was a pretty friendly character, but, you know, when you talk about when you talk to the bartender about her, you know, she's tough as nails, don't get on her bad side, you know. If it turns out to be her, you know, they can kind of play into that a little bit.
It makes sense.
Kind of expand on
it.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
it's the kind of retconning that could actually work.
Is it retconning?
I don't know if it is.
It's new, but it's not really... It's saying stuff that actually has already happened.
Yeah, it's retconning in the sense that, well, I call retconning anything that, like, you know...
retconning is changing things up in the past.
If the Monkey Island 2... Yeah, but if retconning in the sense that the Monkey Island 2 writers did not intend for her in 10 years to be Morgan Le Fay.
Yeah, but
nah,
that's
just
a
that sequel.
Kind of,
that's just a sequel.
Yeah, they
thing,
didn't necessarily say that she would never be Morgan Le Fay either.
Yeah.
My retconning definition is broader than your guys, I guess.
Everything
or perhaps
is your
more wrong.
Okay.
So lengthwise, the episode was pretty satisfying.
Good, I thought.
I mean, it wasn't. Yeah, I mean, you know, it ended too soon, like any Telltale game does. But I mean, it's hard to believe that that's the first fifth of a new Monkey Island.
I think I went through it a bit quite slowly, like most people probably did, because they wanted to sort of drink it all in, and it took me about 4.5 hours to get through it, which, you know, if that's the same for the other episode, that's kind of, that's over 20 hours for a Monkey Island game, which is plenty.
And if we're having new stuff every episode,
it'll probably add up to be more or less the same length as the previous ones, I'd say. At the end of the day.
If we're having a new island every episode or something like that, then that's more than every other Monkey Island game, pretty much, isn't it?
Did they say it would be a new island? I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, new stuff. Completely new stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised if you see some reuse, but it's not going to be a hub.
We talked about this on IRCA beforehand, but I think the courthouse in Flotsam's going to come back, because it's irrelevant here, and the fourth one's called The Trial and Execution of Guybrush Threepwood.
Yeah.
So I could guess that the courthouse is going to be used at some point.
Yeah, I think they'll return to Flotsam in episode 4, and it'll be at night time by the time it's at episode 4.
And it'll
kind of focus around the courthouse.
And
maybe,
also they can't really move the voodoo lady around every episode.
I guess not. Or can they? Maybe they can.
Well, possibly can. It would be funny. I can easily make jokes about it.
That
I
is
mean,
the joke about
it,
the
really
lady, isn't
to.
It?
Yeah, that, you're right. Right. That's what I was going to say. That's become like a joke. She's just there wherever.
Yeah.
She's been on what? Melee Island? Scab Island?
I mean,
Plunder
she even
Island.
Says in this episode, doesn't she, that she goes where she's needed or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
She said something to that effect in previous games.
Yeah. So I think we might see Flotsam again, but I think mostly the series is going to focus on new locations for each game, which is great as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
Speaking of the Voodoo Lady, I really love the few interior environments that you had in this episode. I think the inside of her hut was great. I think the laboratory, Lysinja's laboratory, was great. It's just good environment.
Yeah.
That is the only two buildings in it, interior locations.
But,
unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I think that also their engine seems to handle those slightly darker inside locations a bit better for whatever reason. The lighting just seems to work a bit better on those inside. So I'm always more impressed with the visuals on those in those locations. I don't know what it is. Mm. As I said, I mean,
Telltale's always had good 3D artists. Yeah. I mean, you know, the polygon count is separate from the, you know, the artwork.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's always been really, it's always been pretty strong art direction, and I was very pleased with the environments in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. So, did we like it?
Yes, very much.
I think we did. Yes.
Good.
I mean, the real test for me, right, was that at the end, because I have all these sort of confused feelings about it, because and I'm sure you're all the same, because we're such fans of the series that it's difficult not to try and take everything into account at once, and that's really confusing. But the main test for me was that at the end of this part of the game, sometimes I'd just suddenly remember that there are four more of these to come, and that would make me really, really happy. So they must be doing it right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I was very happy with all of it. Laughed all the way through. I had quibbles with it, but nothing that affected my enjoyment of it at all.
Right then.
Yeah.
So,
if we're going to wrap up Tales now, should we have a quick chat about the Steam releases before we go?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Has anyone got bought
yes.
any?
Yes.
I didn't buy them yet, but I'm fixing to buy all the adventure games soon.
I bought me some Loom and played through that.
Ooh, cool.
And it's been a long time since I played that. Probably last played that in the mid-90s, and it wasn't the CD-ROM version either, so I didn't get any of the speech. And I really enjoyed Loom. I liked it a lot.
I love Loom.
So you had only played the floppy disk version previously?
Yeah, it definitely had text rather than speech. I hadn't heard any of that before.
I think everyone should play both versions because they're both so different, and they both have like you know, I prefer the EGA floppy version because
this has more.
It's got all of the dialogue and it's got the close-ups.
Then you also got
the original.
You also got the FM tones version, which combines the VGA graphics at all. The original got dialogue.
Wait a minute, because as I say, it's been a while since I've played the floppy version. What is different in it then? Because I didn't realize.
There's some stuff cut out.
The dialogue is longer in the EJ version than it does close-ups. Both of those were removed for the CD-ROM version. But they've been reinstated when
Loom
was filled with the FM tones later. But that version is very rare.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Like, you know, the close-ups in Secret of Monkey Island, Loom was filled with those, and they all kind of got lost in the CD version. I think it was a matter of the they only had so much room for talky audio because they used uncompressed sound back then.
Oh, right.
And so they kind of had to. It wasn't just a matter of cutting the dialogue; they sort of rewrote it to be shorter as
they
well.
They have about 15 more minutes on the CD for the dialogue, so they could have put more onto it for. But I didn't for some reason.
I quite liked the dialogue, though. It was funnier than I remembered, but maybe that's because they made it a bit snappier for the CD-ROM version.
I actually found it to be more comical in the floppy disk version. It seemed like they cut out, like, they removed some of Bobbin's, like, one line. Like, it seems like the characters in Loom, there are a surprising amount of one-liners in that game. Or a surprising amount of just, like, a random quip. I'm trying to think of an example.
I mean, it's difficult for me to say because, as I say, it's so long since I played the other version of it.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, it's worth playing both because they really are two distinct experiences.
I might have a look at the older one again. Mm.
Even just from an art standpoint, I mean, the EGA art is like it's pretty distinct. It's well done for what it is, you know. The VGA version looks a lot better, but it's also kind of a separately. It's more than just the EGA version with higher resolution or something. You know, they both kind of have this distinct.
Did the Steam version include the audio drama that they included with the original reels?
I don't think. I think it just includes the manual, but the audio drama can be easily found. In fact, I think it's.
Yeah.
I think you can download it as an MP3 off of soundtracks.mixandmojo.com.
Or some for Dylan.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you start plugging sites, you could, well, plug everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you have it too, don't you? Oh.
In two languages, in Japanese and English. And a transcript for those who are too lazy to listen to it.
For the low price of...
No. Yeah.
We have a winner.
Well, I was lucky enough to manage to pick up the Loom CD version for about £2 from like a second-hand game shop. So I didn't then pick that one, but I'm going to pick up Last Crusade.
Yeah.
Right? And strange enough, I picked up Republic Commando. I've always been meaning to play that on PC.
I was happy to see Armored Dangerous up there. I hope that gets to find more of an audience, because it definitely deserves to.
Yeah.
$9 is a good
deal. I've heard that's pretty good, and I do want to get around to playing it.
It is. It's not quite as good as their previous one, Giants, which is just...
I really like Giants.
But... I'm the Dangerous, it looks like it should be like Giants, but snowier. But it's more linear, unfortunately. Okay.
It's a great game, though.
I'll definitely try it out sometime, now that it's on Steam.
It is worth it.
I mean, I love the Steam. I love what LucasArts is doing with Steam. I just hope they continue it, and...
I was going to say...
They keep these frequent.
I was going to say, what are we hoping for in the next patch?
Well, I'm hoping, honestly... for the rest of them, except for the ones that they are holding off for potential special editions, which
we'll say Adventures. We'll say Monkey Island 2.
I'm assuming Monkey Island 2 and Maniac Mansion. Whether that means both the original and Day of the Tentacle, I think the original or Day of the Tentacle might be one of the remake candidates. Mm. But yeah, I'm hoping to see Zack and Full Throttle and Grimm. And Escape and Curse.
I'd definitely get Zack if it came out, because I haven't played that yet.
I think they're going to have a problem with Sam and Max, because they don't own the rights to it anymore, do they?
I'm honestly not sure. I mean, I know they don't have the rights to create new Sam and Max games, but they still own the rights to hit the road.
They actually had to change. You know in Secret of Monkey Islands, that Sam and Max idol owned by the monkey head, they had to change that. A tentacle.
That just seems weird to me, because I mean, I would have thought that they could just call up Steve Purcell and say, hey, we've got this scene in Secret of Monkey Island, you know, you remember, it's got the Sam and Max idols in it. Can we still use that? Is that cool with you?
And I wonder if it's still the same in the original one.
It might have just been a choice as well. I think you might be right. I mean, they definitely own Hit the Road, but they may need to make some sort of deal in the original version. Sell it again.
Yeah.
In the special edition, I wonder if it's in the original version when you change to it.
Oh, that'd
be interesting. Maybe if it is in the original version, then maybe they can release Hit the Road.
Well,
that's still like the original game.
It has to still be there. I mean, they wouldn't have changed the Sam Max totem pole in Last Crusade.
No.
There's a Sam Max reference in Fate of Atlantis. There's no way. I mean, if it's already in the game, I don't think they have any kind of...
Yeah.
They have to worry about
Maybe the special edition counts as a new thing.
Yeah, it counts as new, so they have to change it.
It's not Steve Purcell art that they did for them, so they have to change it.
It's just speculation. Maybe. But anyway, I don't think there's going to be a problem. I mean, I think... I would very much expect Hit the Road to be coming out at some point, and I wouldn't be surprised if Telltale and LucasArts collaborate on the marketing of that. You might conveniently pop up at the same time Season 3 comes out.
Yes, or announced.
It sounds like those two companies have a pretty good relationship these days.
Yeah.
And that in itself is really cool.
It is.
Also, I'm hoping that, you know, now that LucasArts is showing respect for its PC catalog, I'm hoping we start seeing some of that for their old console games. You know, you've never seen a LucasArts game like, say, on the
Zombies.
Wii virtual console, so it'd be nice to see, like the NES Maniac Mansion, Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Oh, God.
Even just the really old stuff, like, you know, they've got Commodore 64 games on WiiWare now, on the virtual console now, so, I mean, they could even do, like, Rescue on Fractalus and Ball Blazer, like,
Labyrinth.
The really old stuff. Like, they should do all that, too. I'd like to see them do that.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors in particular, want to see again. I'll get that straight away on Wii, if it did.
Such a great game. Such a great game.
This Day of the Tentacle bonus level. I'd also like to see, back to the PC catalog, I'd see Outlaws, Dark Forces, and Jedi Knight.
The X-Wing Trilogy.
Even just a version of Infernal Machine that isn't a bitch set up on a modern machine.
Yes,
you know?
Infernal Machine, definitely.
It's impossible to get that thing to run.
Yes, Infernal Machine I would buy again. No matter how many times I've played it, I'll buy again if it's on Steam and work properly.
One thing I was wondering about, is there any option to sort of change any of the settings in these games? Because when I was fiddling about with Loom, I couldn't get it...
I believe the options are the same as those in the Aaron Guile updates from 2002, right. Which means you can toggle from full screen to windowed mode. There's some sort of graphics.
It's on the window, I think. Yeah.
I think that's about it. I think you have some filtering options to smooth out the graphics, and
because they're on by default. And I wanted to see what it looked like with the filters off, but I couldn't figure out what the option was to do that.
Oh yeah. I think you just gotta put it to Windows mode and then right click on the top of the frame and you get the option.
Okay, I might try that next time I play it then.
Speaking of Indiana Jones, you think maybe LucasArts is gonna put out a new indie game at some point in the near future? It seems like they
hopefully will. They need one on the 360 and PS3 and cross fingers PC.
Yeah, because Staff of Kings, that was way too long.
Yeah.
You like Staff of Kings, right, Chris?
I did. I had tons of problems with it, and it didn't in any way live up to expectations, but I still enjoyed it.
I saw that GameSpot review, and I think a 3.5.
Oh,
should be embarrassing. I'm sorry.
The GameSpot review reads extremely suspiciously to me. They do not mention anything past San Francisco.
But look at the.
I think they've only played the first couple of levels.
Like a 3.5, that's like almost a 4 point lower than RTX Red Rock. Like a 3.5 is reserved for games that are like, I'm sorry. Like
if you look at that review, they don't mention anything past San Francisco. They go on about a couple of annoying things in the first couple of levels of the game, and all the screenshots are just from the first couple of levels of the game. I think they only played those first few levels.
Here's my thing. About
and it gets much better after that point, especially the Mayan Temple.
Here's what I say about Staff of Kings. I think it was not the game LucasArts said it would be making, and I think the reaction is sympathetic and understandable in that regard. But I also think people just don't get the game at all. Like, what Staff of Kings is like this great Indiana Jones arcade game that for some reason is on the Wii instead of like. In the coin op machine at Chuck E. Cheese, like it feels like an arcade game to me. Like the only thing that's missing, literally, is them asking you to put another quarter in after you die. Like it's very linear. It's not necessarily 40 hours long, but I mean it's satisfying for what it is. I feel like Staff of Kings belongs in an arcade cabinet.
It belongs in an arcade cabinet.
It does. I don't know. I think if you approach the game from that perspective, you will enjoy it a lot more. And by the way, I'm only speaking for the Wii version. It's my understanding that the other versions are not very good.
Me and you could have done a podcast on just Indiana Jones, Jason.
Yeah, probably.
The PSP version actually has the word Nazis in it. Strange enough.
Well, technically the Wii version does too, because they didn't change Fate of Atlantis.
I don't get this at all.
We had a big discussion about that before.
I played through the game and I don't get it. They're so obviously Nazis. I don't understand why they have to skirt around it. And I still don't understand why the satchel isn't there or the map.
No, that makes no sense.
That was just I have no idea.
I don't know what happened. Maybe I was out while Nazis suddenly became something that you weren't allowed to say was bad.
Well, it was always a big deal in Germany. Yeah. You know, in fact, isn't it true that the
Last Crusade become
is not
PC
available
not
in Germany on Steam? Isn't it true that German customers that doesn't even come up as an option on Steam?
I don't know.
They can't get the game because there are swastikas in it.
It's weird though because they recently allowed a law to be in German TV. That was banned for like 20, 30 years. So there's it's possible to allow it. I guess it's. If they go through proper channels.
I don't get it at all in the case of Staff of Kings. I just But anyway, we talked about that.
Apparently now we're supposed to respect our Nazi brothers, but I don't know.
It's not even about respect. I mean, these are the Nazis in Indiana Jones are the Nazis of 1930 serials. They're just bodies with uniforms on that can be destroyed. They're cartoon
caricatured, haven't they? It's, you know, Nazis. I hate these guys.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure George Lucas and Steven Spielberg were not we're not claiming to be presenting a version of the Indian community that was at all accurate. I mean, these are just racially insensitive stereotype comic book villains and that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, the Nazis, I don't think they know. Yeah.
I'm the one who brought up Indiana Jones. Sorry.
If we want to, we can do another podcast on that because I think we've got plenty of material for it. Back to the arcade cabinet ways. Anyway, should we call that a wrap now? We've passed the 1 hour mark.
Only if Roger would shut up.
Yeah. Jesus.
God, yeah. Talking all the time.
Is it alright with you if we stop? Well, I guess that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll definitely be here again for the episode 2 of Tales of Monkey Island podcast. Yes.
Yeah, and if me and Jason can be bothered at Indiana Jones one.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Alright, well, goodbye. Go away.
Bye.
Bye.